Welcome back to my podcast, Love and Courageous. I'm your host, Demetrius, and today I'll be talking about pregnancy complications. So my last episode, I was speaking about the rise and fall of abortion rights in America because a lot of states are banning abortion rights. So I want to speak on the complications that a lot of women face while they're pregnant. And some of the complications that women have while being pregnant involves high blood pressure, preterm labor, miscarriage, preeclampsia, and gestational diabetes. Now, there are a lot of things that can cause a woman to have complications during her pregnancy. So here are a few things: kidney problems, high blood pressure, cancer, diabetes, any sexually transmitted diseases, anemia, and epilepsy. So high blood pressure is one thing that can complicate a woman's pregnancy. High blood pressure is when the arteries that carry blood from the heart to the organs and the placenta is narrowed. And having high blood pressure can also increase the risk of other complications such as preeclampsia. And it also puts women at a higher risk of giving birth early. So a lot of times women who are pregnant take medications to control their blood pressure. Now, gestational diabetes is when your body cannot process sugar successfully. Some women that are pregnant will have to follow a meal plan to control their blood sugar levels. And sometimes they also need to take insulin to keep their blood sugar level in control. Now, however, gestational diabetes normally resolves after pregnancy. Preeclampsia is also another complication that women face during pregnancy, but it's also called toxemia, which occurs after the first 20 weeks of being pregnant. And this can also cause high blood pressure, and it can also cause problems with your kidneys. Now, a lot of doctors recommend delivery of the baby to prevent the disease from getting any worse. And also, some doctors might induce the women's labor if you're 37 to 40 weeks. But if it's too early for you to give birth, you might be prescribed medications to help lower the blood pressure. And also, sometimes women are hospitalized. Another pregnancy complication is preterm labor. Preterm labor is when a woman goes into labor before she reached 37 weeks. Now, the issue is this, is the baby's organs, such as their brain and their lungs, have not finished developing. Now, there are certain medications that can stop the labor, but a lot of times doctors recommend the women be placed on bed rest to keep the baby from being born too early. Another complication is miscarriage. A lot of women face this. A miscarriage is the loss of pregnancy during the first 20 weeks. Now, according to the American Pregnancy Association, also known as APA, up to 20% of pregnancies among healthy women will end in a miscarriage. Now, sometimes a miscarriage can occur before a woman even knows that she is pregnant. Now, a loss of pregnancy after 20 weeks is called a stillbirth. The cause of a stillbirth is still not known, but there are issues that can cause a stillbirth, such as infections, problems with the placenta, and chronic health issues with the mom. So another complication is anemia, which means that a woman's red blood cells is lower than it's supposed to be. And a lot of times if you have anemia, you feel more tired and weak. And sometimes women have pale skin. And a lot of doctors treat pregnant women who have anemia with supplements of iron or folic acid. Infections is also another one that can cause complications while a woman is pregnant. Here are a few infections that can harm a woman or her baby: cytomegalovirus, Zika virus, a yeast infection, influenza, a urinary tract infection, hepatitis B virus that can spread to your baby during birth, bacteria vaginosis, group B streptococcus, and toxoplasmosis. This is an infection that is caused by a parasite that is found in soil, raw meat, or cat feces. So here are a few more complications that women face while being pregnant. Ectopic pregnancy is one on when the fertilized egg is implanted outside of the uterus and it's usually in the fallopian tube. Now, this can cause shoulder and abdominal pain, vaginal bleeding, and sometimes a woman can feel dizzy or faint. Now, a lot of times, surgery is used to remove the ectopic tissue so it will not damage your organs, or drugs. It is used instead to remove the ectopic tissue. Fetal problems is another one where the unborn baby has a health issue, such as heart problems or poor growth. Now, there are a few symptoms of this. So, the baby is not moving as much as the baby's supposed to, or the baby is smaller than normal for gestational age. Now, sometimes there won't be any symptoms, but are found with prenatal tests. Now, there are treatments for this, but it depends on the results when the baby health is monitored. Now, sometimes the mom just needs to be under special care until the baby is delivered, or she needs to be put on bed rest. But it just depends on the mother's condition. Another complication, hyperemesis gravidarum, also known as HG. And this is severe persistent nausea and vomiting during pregnancy. And it's actually more extreme than morning sickness. Some other symptoms are weight loss, reduced appetite, dehydration, and also fainting. And a lot of times women vomit multiple times a day. Now, there are a few treatments to this. They say dry blend food and fluids together helps, and also medicine to prescribe to help with the nausea. And a lot of women that have hyperemesis gravidarum are hospitalized so they can be fed fluids and nutrients through a tube in their veins. And a lot of times women start to feel better by the 20th week of their pregnancy. But some women still vomit and feel nauseated throughout all three trimesters. Placenta previa is another one. It's where the placenta covers part or the entire opening of the cervix inside of the uterus. Now, the symptoms of this is painless vaginal bleeding during the second or third trimester. And also, some women actually don't have any symptoms at all. Now, if women are diagnosed with placenta previa after the 20th week of pregnancy, but is not bleeding, a lot of times a woman will be put on bed rest. Now, if the bleeding is heavy, a lot of times the woman will be hospitalized until the mother and the baby is stable. Now, if the bleeding stops or it continues but is light, then bed rest will continue until the baby is ready for delivery. Now, if the bleeding doesn't stop at all, or if preterm labor starts, then the baby will be delivered by C-section. And the last one is placental abruption, where the placenta separates from uterine wall before delivery. And this means that the fetus does not get enough oxygen. Some symptoms of this is vaginal bleeding, cramping, abdominal pain, and uterine tenderness. Now, a lot of times the treatment for this is bed rest, and it actually stops the bleeding. Now, for severe cases, when more than half of the placenta separates, immediate medical attention is required, and the baby is delivered early. Now, there are other factors that can increase a woman's complications while being pregnant. So, being pregnant before the age of 20 or at the age of 35 or older, having an eating disorder, smoking cigarettes, using illegal drugs, drinking alcohol, having a history of pregnancy loss or preterm birth, and also carrying multiple such as twins or triplets. Now, there are things that women can do to reduce their risk of getting these complications. Now, not all of them are preventable, but women can do certain things. So, eating a healthy diet with fruit, vegetables, and fiber, taking prenatal vitamins daily, Attend all routine prenatal visits, including those with a specialist, if one is recommended. Also, reduce your stress level, listen to music, doing yoga. And also, if you're thinking about getting pregnant, also make sure you talk to your doctor beforehand. Because if you already have a medical condition, you need to speak to your doctor about it so they can recommend adjusting your treatment to prepare you for your pregnancy. And also, if you're taking any type of medications, make sure you speak to your doctor about that, because sometimes certain medications can harm the baby. So also communicate with your doctor. So that is all for the topic of today. So I'm going to get into the Black History Month fact for today. So the Black History Month fact is Shaka Zulu, the king of the Zulu kingdom. Now, Shaka Zulu birth was actually a violation of the Zulu tradition. Ukulubanga was the act of non-penetrative sex, and it served a important function. The practice was believed to wash away the unyama, darkness or bad omens caused by killing another man. Though when Zulu warriors went to war and they returned back, the Ukulubanga was very common. So Prince Senzanga Kanya was the chief of the Zulu tribe at the time, had engaged in Ukulubanga with a woman named Nandi. So they broke the tradition and engaged in penetrative sex. And also Nandi was from a different tribe, Ilangeni. And engaging in sexual rituals between different tribes was not a good thing. So when Nandi said that she was pregnant, Prince Senzanga Kanya dismissed it and said that she had an intestinal beetle known as Ishika. But as months passed by, it was clear that Nandi was not suffering from an intestinal beetle. When her child was born, she was sent from her tribe in shame to the Zulu tribe to present her child to Prince Senzanga Kanya. At first now, he denied the child, but his uncle forced him to admit that the child was his. Then Prince Senzanga Kanya admitted that he was the father and made Nandi his third wife. As Shaka grew up, he was mistreated by his father, Prince Senzanga Kanya, other wives and children. And Nandi was also mistreated. Even though Shaka was Prince Senzanga Kanya's oldest son, he did not inherit his father's title. Shaka's younger brother, Siji Jana, received his father's title. Now, eventually, Nandi and Shaka left the Zulu tribe and she returned back to her mother's tribe, which is the Ilangeni. But they were not welcome because of the fact that Nandi got pregnant by Prince Senzanga Kanya from a whole nother different tribe. They were not treated fairly as well. So they stayed there until 1802, until famation occurred, which is starvation in the population. So they move in the Mdilet Shani clan, which was ruled over by King Chobe of the Metetua Paramountcy. So Nandi and Shaka were accepted, and Shaka became a cattle herder for the tribe. Now in 1803, when Shaka was 16 years old, King Chobe passed away, and his son Dingus Weyo took over his throne. Since Dingus Weyo took over, the tribe's focus changed and they underwent militarization. And Shaka became one of Dingus Weyo's soldiers and eventually became his general. Now in 1815, Shaka's father, King Senzanga Kanya of the Zulu tribe, passed away after an illness. And Shaka's younger brother, Sigihana, took over. But that did not last long because Shaka asked for support from Dingus Weyo and Monte Toitouan, Bear Mountsey, Shaka returned to the Zulu tribe with the soldiers and had his brother, Sigijana, killed. So after the death of his brother, Sigijana, Shaka was now the king of Zulu tribe. Even though the Zulu tribe was heavily militarized, they did not fall back on warfare to achieve their goal. The Zulu tribe was still small, and Shaka applied pressure through diplomatic means rather than open conflict. And he also allied himself with his neighbors, mainly importantly to keep off Ndiwanwe attacks from the north. So in the first year that Shaka became the king of Zulu, Dingis Weyo was murdered at the hands of King Ziwad of the Ndiwanwe. The Ndiwanwe was a rival nation to the Metetawa, and the war between the two saw a temporary scattering and a power vacuum left within the Metetawa nation. So Shaka decided to step in to fill that vacuum and reunited the Metetawa and strengthened its military. Now, even though he was outnumbered by the Ndiwanwe, Shaka decided to take the Zulu army and defeated the Ndiwanwe. He defeated Ziwai at the Jikikuale Hill. Then he fought the Ndiwanwe again at the Malatiza River. And this was the battle that saw the Ndiwanwe completely defeated. Now the remainder of the Ndiwanwe fled to the northwest and battled once again in 1825 and were defeated by Shaka army. Now after the war with Ndiwanwe, Shaka continued to subdue the neighboring tribes, often turning to violent conquests in order to do so. Now 1824, Europeans arrived in Port Natal, and Shaka had a very powerful monarchy. Now, two Europeans who met up with Shaka were Henry Francis Fine and Francis Farewell. Now, Shaka made deals with other Europeans. There are Europeans who visited him to wish to establish contact and have peaceful relations with Shaka. And Shaka returned the sentiment. Shaka also sent a delegation to Major J. Kluta, the representative of the Cape government at Port Elizabeth, which is part of the British Empire. Favorable relations were established, and Shaka showed interest in the culture, technology, and trade that the British brought. Now, Shaka was generous to the British and gave land to them to establish a settlement in Port Natal. However, Shaka also did build large ports near Dukuza, which is a city in South Africa. And he did this to basically let them know, like, don't take my kindness for weakness. Now, however, in October 1827, Shaka's mother, Nandi, passed away. And this actually made him be even more erratic and violent with his own people. He had people executed for not mourning the passing of his mother enough. And he also forced his armies to make other tribes grieve. Pregnant women were also executed along with their husbands. Cows were even killed so that their calves can know what it's like to lose a mother. He also banned the planting of crops and the use of milk for a year. This forced the entire Zulu tribe to go on a diet, and starvation was soon to occur. Now, because of Shaka's behavior and how he was treating his own and others, the Zulu society decided to take him out. So while Shaka's armies were away, his bodyguard, Mpoba, with his half-brother, Dingane, and Malengena, murdered Shaka Zulu. His body was buried in a grain pit, and Dingane declared himself the new king of Zulu. Now, however, when Dingane became the new king, he continued the militaristic tradition that Shaka has created. And then would come into disastrous conflict with expanding European enterprises. And in 1879, the Zulu nation fell under the British rule. So that is all for today's episode. Now, for my next episode, I'll be speaking about Aaliyah Anders, the young black girl that was shot and killed by a police officer. Also, I'll be speaking on the TikTok band. So thank you all for listening to my podcast, and I hope y'all have a lovely day.